to listen to this song.
No, not
blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
Both of you.
Blessed is the one. You can join me, that's fine. Whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my muscles wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of many waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. Surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will counsel you with a loving eye on you. Do not be like a horse or a mule which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad and be righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in my heart. All right, thank you. You may be seated. How many of us love to be forgiven? Isn't that nice? You know, we got a letter from the state of California that says we owe about $12 for toll roads and about $150 for not taking care of it while we were down there. And we're going to call them tomorrow afternoon and see if we can be forgiven. I would really like to be forgiven $150.
That was totally.
It's nice to be forgiven. It's a weight off our back. And the Bible calls the man or the woman who's forgiven, calls them blessed when their sins aren't counted against them. Like it said in verses 1 and 2, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. One thing that crosses my mind, I'm not sure if it's in the message anywhere, is that, you know, both the good people and the bad people have sins. They have to go to God and confess. But the ones counted good people are those that do it. The fan's just wreaking havoc back there. All right. Have you ever been forgiven by God? Have you felt that feeling of relief?
Yes.
It's a good feeling to be blessed by God through forgiveness. What a relief it can be when your sin would... when my sin, which has been weighing us down for some time and starting to suck the joy out of our life and having us feel that, oh, my bones are just tired. You, of course, maybe you haven't been there. I mean, maybe I'm just the only one in the room who's ever been slow to repent of something. Well, maybe not. But I know sometimes I have been stubborn. And so was King David. Here is what he had to say. That's starting at verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. If you're really like me, then maybe sometimes you come to church and you felt convicted, and then the next week, but you didn't do anything. And maybe the next week you came to church and you felt convicted, but still didn't do anything. And pretty soon you don't feel much like going to church because of that weight. And that weight can be like the hot days of summer. I love summer for all the things you can do with the good weather and stuff, but I hate trying to sleep at night in summer when it gets so hot that you can't fall asleep. And when you do sleep, it's not a very restful sleep. And so all day long, you're dragging because you didn't really get much sleep the night before. And the weight of our sin can be like that, pulling us down. If we haven't dealt with it, if we haven't confessed our sin to God, in true repentance. And I find a lot of times, I can tell God I'm sorry, but I still have that burden until I talk to whoever I should be talking to. Notice that it said that there's some emphasis on true repentance. There is such a thing as false repentance. You know, repentance where you're not really sorry, you're repenting but as a way to shift blame on someone. And of course, verse 2 ended with, in your spirit, there is no deceit. Blessed is the person forgiven, and in their confession, there's no conceit. Who can think of the first time in the Bible where somebody's saying, yes, I did something wrong, but it wasn't real, true, heart-meant confession? And that was that Adam and Eve story that I referred to before. Adam said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit, and I ate it. Adam admitted a sin, but was trying to blame God and trying to blame Eve for it. And he blames the serpent. It's not just, I'm sure there's many other times in the Bible where somebody confesses but blames. But it's not just Bible characters that do that. Haven't we all done this at times? Don't children do it all the time? Yes! Yeah, I took a cookie, but so did everybody else. So when we confess to God, when we confess to our friends and to our families something we did wrong, we don't get the full blessing if we don't, and we won't be taken seriously unless we're totally honest, owning our part of the sin. But when we do that freely, without excuse, confess without blaming, here's what will happen with God and what hopefully will happen with your friends and family. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave me the guilt of my sin. What did God do? God forgave King David's sins, like his sin of murdering Uriah, his sin of adultery with Uriah's wife. God really likes to forgive and to restore relationships with him. If he didn't, he wouldn't have said to Moses, Exodus 34, and he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, so this is God speaking, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to the thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation. God is telling Moses that he's full of love and compassion, and he forgave King David's sins. And then God, in a very public way, with Jesus dying on the cross, let the whole world know that there was a chance for salvation, for forgiveness of sins. So if you're honest with him, if you don't play games with him, God will forgive your sin too. Now here's the first command we can find in this psalm. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising waters will not reach them. The command is to pray to God while he can be found. And I'll get back to that while he can be found later. That is, so pray, that is, get right with God and experience his forgiveness now. By the way, a quick aside. Oh, that's exactly what I told you earlier about everyone sins. It's just some deal with God about it and others don't. If you come to God, then you will be considered faithful. And if you don't, you won't be forgiven. You won't be considered faithful. Do the blessed people give anything more than just forgiveness? Yeah, they sure do. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye upon you. So what do you get? You get forgiveness, you get protection, and you get direction. God promises to instruct us in the way we should go, and that's a pretty great deal. It's one thing to be forgiven, it's another thing to have that protection, it's another thing to have direction so that you can live better in the future. If you've been taught by God to live, how to live, and have made it your way of living, then you're not going to fall nearly as easily the next time. Chip Ingram, the guy in the Wednesday night videos and Bible study discussion, he said that, I'm not sure if he was Christian yet or coming close, but his roommate, to do something, had to memorize these 60 verses. And he was feeling competitive. So secretly, he copied down what those verses were. And he was working on learning all 60 verses faster than his roommate. And he wanted to outdo him, I guess. And he had about half of them memorized. And all of a sudden, he had this conversation with a pretty Christian lady. And who knows, maybe she had a low top or whatever, and he walked away from there and go, that's weird. I wasn't lusting after that. He said about lust, if you're a Christian and you see a pretty girl, you're lusting that pretty girl, and she's not a Christian, you feel bad because you're lusting. And if you see a pretty girl that you're lusting about and she's a Christian, you just feel worse. That's what he had to say. But after memorizing about 30 of the 60 verses, he's going, it was no big deal. God wants to show us the way to live and to give us the power to live. And one way to do that is to get God's word in our heads and in our hearts. I think many in the class, including me, came to realize that, man, we need to work more on memorizing scripture. I mean, there are several scriptures I'm familiar with, and there's some that I've memorized, even a whole chapter once for a class, but don't go back to it. It just kind of drifts away. All right. God's farmyard. Oh, yeah. on the memorizing idea. Does that seem like a good idea?
Yes.
Kind of me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God's farmyard. If you can imagine God having a farmyard with many animals, many animals might come in my mind pretty well. You know, like it's starting to get dusk, and Christy goes out and says, "Come on, chickens!" And some are already roosting in the hen house and trolling grain in, and the rest will go in pretty easily, generally. Well, hopefully. It works in my illustration. Yeah. And when they're locked in there, they've got protection for the night from things that might come in the night, like foxes and possums and raccoons, other varmints. And likewise, larger animals could come when they're called to the barn, and they know they're going to have an evening meal, and it's okay to be locked up then and stuff. But not every animal is willing to come when it's called. Neither are all people willing to come when God calls. So here's some more advice, another command. Do not be like a horse or a mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit or a bridle, or they will not come to you. Sometimes a horse or a mule has quite a bit of understanding of what it doesn't want to do. My dad's neighbors had a horse that bumped its head once getting in a trailer. And it decided from then on it had no interest in getting in a trailer, because trailers hit you in the head. And so every time they try and trailer that horse, it would buck and it would fight and it would bang its head more. And it was a terrible time. And you know, I think they had to work on how to force the horse into the trailer when they needed to take it somewhere. Mules are also known as being stubborn. And knowing that they don't, and knowing what they don't want to do and refusing to do it. The farmer may know that a huge storm is coming, so he wants to get all the animals in the barn, or hail is coming. You know, like what you see on the internet, golf ball size hail is coming. And he wants to get the animals in the barn. Even though it's early, but the more stubborn animals with more independent will just might make the farmer have to go find them, have to catch them, have to make them get in the barn, or have to leave them to suffer the consequences, like the cattle in Egypt when the hailstorm came. Many, many cattle died. And maybe the seeing the lightning, thunder, or hail, horse or a mule might decide that would be a good time to get in that barn, and it might go running. But if that door is shut and the farmer's gone in the house or something, tough luck. And so that kind of ties back to, you know, respond to God while you can. Respond to God today. Self-reliance is a good thing, except when it keeps us from getting help that we need, things that we can't do on our own. And forgiveness, protection, and direction are all things that we should be glad, we should welcome from God. Verse 10 is kind of a summary verse. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trust him. Imagine the farmer, picture him, sugar cube in one hand for the nice, compliant animal that comes right in, and you know, rope or bridle, spurs, whatever in the other hand, which are coming.
A whip?
Yeah. That's the choice we have, to come to God freely or resist. And my advice to you is verse 11, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, be righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart, and now would be a good time to invite the kids back down to join us for communion. While that's happening, I want to tell you a story about some copper nails. This preacher preached on the importance of confession of sin and restitution. And after he spoke, this young man came up to him and said, "Pastor, you put me in an uncomfortable place. You see, I build boats. That's my job. And I've started building a boat at home as well. And when you build boats, the part that's going to be exposed to the water, you want copper nails. Because copper nails won't rot away, won't rust like an iron nail would." And I took a lot of copper nails from my boss's shipyard home to my boat. And now you got me feeling all guilty. And but if I tell them that I stole from him, he's going to think I'm a hypocrite. You see, I have told him time and time again that he needs God. He needs to come to our church and hear you preach. And if I go, "Hey, John, I stole from you," that's going to ruin my witness. He'll never come to church after that. And the pastor just kind of, And interesting to me, he just let it go. And week after week, the man came to church looking kind of glum. It was about 4 weeks later, he came in looking a lot brighter. He said, "Pastor, I took back all the nails I hadn't used. And I went to George and I said, I really feel bad. I took these nails that are yours. I kind of justified it." In his mind, he had justified two things. One, he doesn't pay me enough. That was part of the reason he justified he could take them. And two, he's got so much he'll never notice that he's missing. But in the end, he realized I'm just... So he went and said, "I'm very sorry. I took these things. It makes me a thief. And here's what I haven't used. And let's set up a payment plan or something so I can pay you back for what I did." You know what the man said? He said, "Well, I always thought you were a hypocrite. But now that you... But our religion that would make... a bad worker that would steal from his boss come and confess it and try to make restitution." No. There might be something to that.
I'm pointing my finger. Thank you.
I like that story. Well, the preacher liked that story. He got permission to share elsewhere too. And so in this one town, he shared that story, and this woman came to him later and said, Those nails, they hurt me so." And he said, "You build ships?" And she said, No. My friend has an awful lot of books. And I've been stealing books when I was taking them home. And I realized, I have a whole lot of her books that I just kind of took and didn't say anything. But that message got to me. And I had to take them back. I said, "Here's all your books, whether you knew I took them or not, and I'm very sorry. And the nails, they aren't hurting me anymore."
Good job.
That's a great story. Confession and didn't do right. So, as we come to a time of communion, and I'll have, would you like to pass one of these? Take it. Alright. I need some more volunteers that are trustworthy.
Thank you, George. No.
Oh, here's another one.
I appreciate it.
Alright. You take the other side. Everyone is welcome to join us in communion It is everyone who believes you're a Christian now and you're in a good place with God and with your neighbors, you are welcome to join us in communion. And that's more of a biblical reasoning than these tough rules. All right, there we go.
Okay, guys. Stop.
This is gluten-free. It took me a while to find where they put the gluten-free.
I do not like gluten-free.
Number of graves, my doctor says it's time. Next time I go to Andrew's sister's company,
a friend of mine told me that there's a brand of taco that's gluten-free. And it's really good. It's called Hooters. Hooters. Not the Hooters. Yeah, that's right. You guys do make it. You're supposed to be looking at a bread machine. You're supposed to be looking for a bread machine.
Oh. I know. Stop. Do not. Put it down. You're going to end up spilling it. This doesn't need to be a hard thing to do. Follow directions and be patient, please.
Thank you, buddy.
We're almost done passing out the bread.
Okay, everybody gets one. Here's your turn. That's okay, it happens, right? Thank you. Remember what we're doing, because we'll do it again today. And that way you know what we're doing.
Did I give you one?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to spell. That's why I'm doing that. Okay. Wait till Pastor Dave on, and Pastor Dave, that's good. You're good to go. Remember. Judge your mouth, open your mouth.
All right. So Paul wrote, I received from the Lord what I also passed to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness, and we understand a little better that your forgiveness comes when we confess our sins honestly and try not to blame others. And help us to do that. Lord, I fear many are too much like me, too much like a stubborn horse or a mule, and suffer needlessly because of being slow to come to you with our problems that we need your help. I pray that this day and every day forward, we will be quick to confess our faults, not to blame others. In Jesus' precious name, we all say,
Amen. Amen.
You're dismissed.
Right.
What do you guys say? Take it.